Hey guys, thank you so much for joining us for the NCC podcast. God is doing so many great things in our community, and I trust that He's doing great things in your life as well. And I trust that God is going to speak to you through this message.
Well, I am excited today as we continue in our new series entitled His Promise, My Part. His Promise, My Part. And we could say that this is a vision series that's kind of leading us up to a Vision Sunday on December 12th. But in this vision series, it's really about you envisioning. About you envisioning what's really possible for you and for your family. Begin to envision what is possible for our church in the context of our community. And, you know, it's very important as Jesus followers that we know that God has promises for us. Okay, I got two amens there. I think we could do a little bit more. Maybe you don't know, but God has great promises for you. And it's good that we know that God has great promises. Amen? Amen. And so as we go through this series, we're going to be looking at the story of Joshua and the story of Jesus and how they parallel in the fact that Joshua in the Old Testament was moving God's people into the promised land. And the story of Jesus is about Him moving us into a promised life. Because Jesus said so much more than, hey, if you just believe in me, you'll spend eternity with me. Did He say that? Absolutely. Are we looking forward to that? Yes, we are. But Jesus promised us something more than just eternal life. He promised us abundant life while we were here on the earth. And this is what Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10. He said, I came so that everyone, say everyone, I came so that everyone would have life and would have it in its fullest. Now, let's just think about it for a moment. Jesus said, I came that you would have life, but Jesus were talking to people that were already alive. So obviously, He was not talking about just existing. He was talking about something more than existing. He was talking about something greater. He wasn't just talking about surviving in life. He was talking about thriving in life. And actually, the Greek word that Jesus uses here when He says, I came that you might have life, the Greek word is zoe. And that means life in all of its different aspects and all of its different compartments. It's spirit, soul, and body. It's present and future. So when Jesus said, I came that you would have life, He said, I came that you would have a full life. I came that you would have an abundant life. I came that you would overflow, not just in your spiritual life, but relationally. I came that you would overflow in peace in your mind. I came that you would live this abundant life. And since Jesus came and made us this promise, He promised us this life. He says, it's why I came. I came so that you could have this life. We can have, it's promised. So that means what? We can have it. Come on, you need to look at your neighbor on the right and left and tell them we can have it. Come on, tell them we can have it. You need to let them know we, not just you. Listen to what you're saying out of your mouth. We, that means you can have it too. We can have this abundant life. But in the midst of the promises of God, the people of God always play a part. We always play a part in possessing what God has promised. And I want to read this scripture. It's kind of our foundation scripture for this series before we get into the story of Joshua. And it's found in 2 Peter chapter 1. Peter was writing this. Peter was a disciple of Jesus. He was one of His 12 disciples. He was actually one of the three closest disciples to Jesus. And he writes this. He says, by His divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. Say everything.
Everything.
So it's available to everyone, and He has given you everything that you need for living the life that He created you to live. Everything you need for living free from addiction. Everything you need for your healing of the past hurts, everything you need, He is providing that. How did we get this? It says we received all this just by coming to know Him. When we come to know, you don't get this because you graduated from seminary. You don't get this because you've studied the Bible for 40 years. You don't get this because you've prayed the prayer of Jabez all your life. You don't get this anyway. You get this because you came to know Him. It's out of relationship with Jesus that you have everything you need for living the life that God created you to live. And it says we come to know him, the one who has called us to himself by the means of his marvelous glory and excellence. And because of his glory and excellence, his glory is who he is, his excellence is what he does. Because of these things, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share in his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. And Peter says in verse 5, in view, say view. In view of all of this, in sight of all of this, with that perspective, make every effort to respond to God's promises. In view of all this, now that you see it this way, make every effort to respond to God's promises. I would say it to you this way today, and that is that God's promises enable you because they create a vision for you. God's promises enable you to live the life that he created you to live. Why? Because his promises create a vision for you. See, I get a vision for what's possible in my life through the promises he made for my future. That's where the vision of my life comes, because he promised me a future. And then what happens is I begin to see myself sharing in his divine nature. I begin to see myself living holy and righteous. I begin to see myself living free. I begin to see myself living without shame and guilt and condemnation. I begin to see myself living in strength and in peace and in joy. I begin to see myself living out this divine nature of God. I begin to see it. And then not only that, I see myself living without the world's corruption. I see myself overcoming temptation. I see myself winning battles that I've always lost. I see myself overcoming, living more than a conqueror. I begin to see these things. And as I begin to see these things, guess what? Then I will make every effort to respond to it. Because listen, if I don't see it, then I'm not going to put the effort in it, because I'm going to feel like that effort is worthless. If I don't see myself living holy and free, if I don't see myself living righteous and godly, if I don't see myself becoming everything that, if I cannot see that, then I'm not going to put in the time or effort that it takes to respond to the promises of God. But watch this. If I see it, it's what God's trying to do. As he's giving you these promises, he's trying to give you a vision for your future, a vision for your life, a vision for what's possible. This is what God is trying to do, give you this vision for what he can make happen. And when you see it, then you will begin to seize it, and you'll say the effort is worth it. The effort is worth it because I see what God has promised. And if God has promised it, come on, it's going to come to pass. So it takes us to the story of Joshua. And if you missed last week, you can go back and listen on a podcast. You can find us on YouTube if you want to go back and build some deals. But let me just catch you up real quickly. Where we are in the story in the Old Testament is that God's people, the Israelites, they've been slaves in Egypt for approximately 400 years. There's a man by the name of Moses is leading them out. He goes, he talks to Pharaoh through a series of events. Now they are coming out of Egypt. They come to this Red Sea. They're blocked. Now the Egypt has changed their mind. The army is chasing them down from behind. God does a miracle, parts the waters. All of God's people walk across on dry ground through the Red Sea. The Egyptian army, they come chasing the people in. God lets the waters come crashing back down on them. Every single person in the army of Egypt drowns right there before them. They get on the other side, and they are on the doorstep of their destiny. They are on the doorstep of this promised land that God had told them, I am bringing you into this land. This land, the Bible says it flows with milk and honey. It means that it is abundant. It is prosperous. It is fertile. It is a good land. And God said, this is where I am taking you. And so Moses says he's going to send 12 spies into the land. He sends 12 spies into the land. And when those 12 spies come back after 40 days, 10 of the 12 come back and they say, we can't do it. The enemy is too big of an obstacle. They've got better weapons than we have. Their cities are walled and they're fortified. Their gates are immovable. And we even saw giants there in the land. But there were the other two. And the other two, Caleb and Joshua, said, "We can do it. Let us go at once and conquer this land." They had that "we can" attitude. And so what we could say today is that Caleb and Joshua were living in view of all of this. In view of all of this, in view of the promises of God, in view of the vision that I have received, in view of what God told me he wanted to do in my future, in view of all of this, the promise of God had created a vision of what was possible. And that was greater than any obstacle. When Joshua and Caleb realized what was possible, they got a vision. We can live in this land. Look, this is our fruit. These are our, he said he was going to give us vineyards we didn't plant, houses we didn't build. Look, we are looking at it right now. We are seeing what is possible. And I don't know how God is going to do it, but they were convinced that God would do it. And in view of the promises of God, they saw what was possible, and what was possible was bigger and better than any obstacle that stood in their way. So what I said last week, and we'll put it back on the screen for today, is that God's promises make things possible. But you make God's promises unstoppable. God's promises make it possible. There was nothing that we can do to make it possible. God has made it possible. But God made this promise possible to all 12 of the spies. They all had the same information when they walked into the land. They all knew. Moses had told them, this is the land that God has given us. That same God that just parted that water and you walked across on dry ground. That same God that just drowned your enemies. That same God that's been feeding you out here. That's that same God who's been doing all of these miracles. He said, that land is your land. They had the same information. But 10 spies came back and said, we just can't do it. See, God's promises made it possible for Joshua and Caleb. But it's you partnering with the promises of God that make it unstoppable in the earth. Because the 10 spies that said we can't, guess what? They didn't. And the 2 spies that said we can, guess what? They did. And the story goes on, and what happens when the spies come back, God's people, the Israelites, they get in agreement with the we can't. They hear about the giants and the walled cities and all the obstacles, and they say, we can't do it. We should have stayed in Egypt. Why are we out here? Moses, you tricked us. They get in agreement with the we can't, and they don't, which leads them to 40 years wandering in this wilderness, of which every single person over 20 years old coming out of Egypt would die. A whole generation could have moved into abundance. They could have moved into a fertile land. They could have, listen to me, they could have lived in the promise of God. It was possible. God made it possible. But they all died in the wilderness. Why? Because you make God's promises unstoppable. And you have to get into the agreement with the we can and not the we can't. So whenever we read this story, listen, and I say this a lot, but whenever you read the Bible, always put yourself in the story. Whenever you read the Bible, put yourself in the story, because knowing the story is one thing, growing from the story is another thing. Yes. Knowing the story is one thing, but growing from the story is another thing. You see, knowing the story is just information. Growing from the story is revelation. Revelation is when you ask yourself this question, what does that mean to me? What does this story mean to me? As I read, what does this mean? I'm not reading for information. I'm reading for revelation. I want to know, what is God saying to me through this story? And so we want to grow in this revelation. That's one of the reasons why right now in 2021 here at North Point, we say this is our year of application. And at the end of every message and at the end of today, we're going to do a lead acrostic, because we said in this year of application, we want to lead ourselves well. How is that possible? Well, that's from learning, evaluating, applying, and then doing it again. Revelation is this: what am I learning? What did I learn from that story? What did I learn from this sermon? What did I learn from today? What did I learn? And then I begin to evaluate. What does that mean to me? The information has to then become evaluation. What does this mean to me? Then it leads me to the application. You see, if there's not a changing of application in your life, there's a lack of revelation in your life. It's not information that leads you to change. It's revelation that leads you to change. Because the only way you change your life is when you take the information and say, okay, what does this mean to me? What does this mean for my marriage? What does this mean for my relationship? What does this mean for my finances? What does this mean for my prayer life? What does this mean to me? And so whenever we read the Bible, we don't ever want to read it just for information. We want to read it for revelation. Because here's what happens. Sometimes too many people are only learning life lessons through their own life. They're just learning it from their own successes and their own failures and their own struggles and their own hard times and their own mistakes and their own victories. They are learning all of their life lessons through their own life. But do you know that you can actually learn life lessons from other people? You can learn from their success, from their victories. You can also learn from their mistakes, and you can learn from their struggles and their failures as well. And this is why reading the Bible and reading books is so life-changing. This is why people say, you know, readers are leaders, right? There's a reason why. Is because I don't have time to learn all the life lessons that I want to learn in my life, in my life. I want to read books and I want to read the Bible so that I can learn from these people. Now, listen, you do have to put in the time to read. We understand that, right? Listen, you put in the time, but guess what? You don't have to put in the pain. The lessons that they're learning came with pain. The lessons they're learning came through mistakes and failures and heartbreaks. And when we look at the story of Joshua, as we go through in these next few weeks, listen, our revelation comes from their reality. We're going to talk about it. They live through it. So what I want to do is I want to learn from it without living through it. I'm gonna draw up, what does this story mean to me? How does it apply to my family and to my future? I want to get some revelation so that I can get some application in my life that doesn't come from my own mistakes or my own failures or waiting on my own successes. No, I'm gonna read the story and take lessons from Joshua and apply it to my life. This is so vitally important that Destiny mentioned our house habits a moment ago, right? And she said, we have one house habit is we cheer enthusiastically, and we do that. But we have another house habit here at North Point that says we grow intentionally. And the reason we say we grow intentionally is because you don't grow automatically. You don't just grow automatically. No, you only grow intentionally. And intentional growth happens whenever you say, what does this lesson mean to me? What does this story teach me about myself? What does this story teach me about my God? What does this story teach me about my relationship with others? What does this story teach me about my patience and my persistence and my attitude? What does this story teach me about me? Because you have to know to grow, so you have to get the information, but don't ever be deceived and feel like knowing is growing. Knowing is not growing. You have to know to grow, so you got to get the information. But don't ever let it stop at information. That's why you ever wonder, like, how somebody, you know, been in church for 20 years and done these things for all this time, and then you're like, but the fruit is really not there? Because you can fill up on information, but if it doesn't turn to revelation, it's not going to lead to application, and that's where the change happens in your life. So last week, we talked about Joshua and Caleb. We talked about them living with this expectant attitude, that your expectant attitude is the first step into you moving into the promises of God. It's the first step. The first step you will take before you do anything else, before you ever take any action, the first step you're going to take is an internal expectant attitude that's going to begin to move you closer to the promises that God has for you. And so after 40 days of scouting this land, Caleb and Joshua, they come back. As we said a moment ago, they come back and they say, we can. We can conquer this land. Now, it was good that they had that attitude after 40 days. But now the challenge becomes not just attaining an expectant attitude, but maintaining that attitude. Not just having that attitude for 40 days, but how do you keep that attitude for 40 years? Hey, really good. You got the expectant attitude. We can conquer after 40 days. Good job. But can you still have that attitude 40 years later? You see, I told you we're drawing a correlation between the promised land and the promised life. And here's the reality is that you don't always move into the promised land as quick and as easy as you hoped it would be. But guess what? You don't move into the promised life as quick and as easy as you hoped it would be either. Man, I wish there was just one prayer that we could pray. I wish there was just one service that we could attend. I wish there was just one person that could lay hands on us. I wish that it was just one thing, one moment, one service, one prayer, one day, one song. I wish it was just like that. But the process of moving into the abundant life is the same process that we see here, is that it doesn't always happen as fast or easy as we would like it to. Jesus came to give us this abundant life, but hear me this morning. The world is doing everything that it can to keep you from it. Jesus promised it, and he says, it's possible for you to live in victory. It's possible for you to live in freedom. It's possible for you to overcome. It is possible, but hear me, the devil and all of his forces are doing everything that they can possibly do to keep you from living out that abundant life that Jesus came to give you. And this is what I found. I found that if the enemy can't scare you out of what's possible with giants, then he will attempt to wear you out of what is possible with time. If he can't scare you out of the land with giants, if he can't put obstacles that are so big and so intimidating in your pathway that cause you to cower down like the 10 spies did and said, we can't do it, too many obstacles, too many problems, too much adversity, we are not going to be able to do it. If the enemy can't, if he can't scare you with that, then guess what? He's going to try to wear you out with time. Is God ever going to come through? Am I ever going to see the promises? How long has God forgotten about me? How long am I going to have to go through this? Is God even there? Is God even real? He tries to wear you out with time. Let's just think about this for a minute. 40 years, folks. Now, sometimes when you know things in the Bible, like you just throw it out there. 40 years, boy, you know, you just kind of throw it out there. But 40 years. Guys, think about how long 40 years is. That's 2,080 weeks. That's 14,600 days. It's over 21 million minutes. How do you have an expectant attitude when it's hot? Come on, somebody in Louisiana ought to say amen right there. It's like August all year round. Like, you know, it's hot. They're eating the same food every day. And it wasn't gumbo and jambalaya, okay? I mean, it's like, man, it's just the same food. They're complaining. They're having to move constantly. They're following God, the fire by night, the cloud by day. They're being attacked by other enemies. They're being attacked by other groups of people. Listen, everybody over 20 died. Do you know how many people they buried in the wilderness? Every person over 20. This is real adversity. 40 years of real adversity in the wilderness, and yet Caleb and Joshua did not lose sight of the promise. Which then for our revelation goes, how'd that happen? I can lose attention in 40 minutes. I mean, some people in the room right now, you thinking about the LSU football game last night, right? You're not even thinking about what I'm saying right now. In depression, we have people praying for people after service today. So if you need prayer for the LSU Tigers, just go back to the prayer banner at the end of service. How did they do this? 40 years having an expectant attitude. Well, the verses we're about to read, they're actually recorded later in the story. They're actually recorded after they move into the promised land. But these words give us clues. They give us clues to how Joshua and Caleb made it. They give us clues to how they made it through 40 years in the wilderness and how they made it into the promises of God 40 years later. And as you read the Bible, what you discover is that there are patterns and templates for your life. They're patterns. God gives you patterns. And if you don't go in for revelation, you miss the pattern. God gives you templates for the way you should respond. He gives you some templates for you to fall into and pattern your life after. But if all you're doing is information, reading the story, you're like, oh, that's so good for Joshua and Caleb. I'm so proud of them. No, it's bigger than Joshua and Caleb. God is trying to get a message to you. So how did they do this? Let me just give you real quick. We're just going to run through this. And I'm just going to give you quickly, as we wrap today, 5 lessons to maintaining your attitude and experiencing abundance. Five lessons. How do you maintain your attitude and experience abundance? And it comes from this in Joshua chapter 14, verse 6. This is Caleb speaking to Joshua here, and this is what he says. It says, Caleb said to Joshua, remember what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, about you and me when we were at Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land of Canaan. That's the promised land. I returned and I gave an honest report. But my brothers who went with me were frightened, and they frightened the people from entering the promised land. For my part, I wholeheartedly followed the Lord my God. So that day, Moses solemnly promised me, the land of Canaan, on which you were just walking, will be your grant of land, and that of your descendants forever, because you wholeheartedly followed the Lord my God. Now, as you can see, the Lord has kept me alive and well as he promised for all these 45 years since Moses made this promise, even while Israel wandered in the wilderness. Today, I am 85 years old. I am as strong now as I was when Moses sent me on that journey. I can still travel and fight as well as I could then. So give me the hill country that the Lord promised me. You will remember that as scouts, we found the descendants of Anak living there in great walled towns. But if the Lord is with me, I will drive them out of the land just as the Lord said, or just as he promised. Five lessons, five points of revelation. I want you to write these down because I believe they're going to become a pattern and a template for you even this week of how do you maintain an expectant attitude and live in the abundance that God created you for. Number one is this, meditation. Meditation. Now, when I say meditation here, what I'm specifically talking about is this definition of meditation: extended thought, reflection, or contemplation. Extended thought, thinking deeply, reflection, reflecting back upon something, and then contemplation. This is what Caleb said to Joshua right there in verse 6. He says, remember what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, about you and me? Remember? That was 40 years ago, people. Come on, I can't remember what happened 4 days ago. He says, hey, 40 years ago, do you remember what the man of God said about me and about you? You see, here's what I'll tell you. You choose the stories that you remember. You choose the stories that you remember, because it wasn't just Moses that said, hey, you're going to go into that land. You're going to possess that land. The place where your feet are walking, it's going to be yours. That was not the only person that talked to him. I can promise you those other 10 spies were talking to him as well. You are an absolute moron for thinking we can win this. You are an idiot. You are going to die. Who in the world do you think you are? There were so many stories that were spoken. And here's what for us, so many times, we have so many words from other people in our head that we forgot the word that God spoke to us. You choose the stories that you remember. And if you choose the stories that you remember, guess what? You need to be around people who are telling the right thing. And you can almost see this with Caleb talking to Joshua. He's not like saying, hey, let me go back and remind you. He says, hey, Joshua, come on, you remember too. Because we've been talking about this. This is how we made it. Don't you remember the word that he spoke to me? You see, you choose to meditate on the stories, and you get to choose the stories that you meditate on, that you give extended thought to, that you reflect on, that you give contemplation to. So if you spend your life reflecting on what your sixth grade teacher told you when she told you that you can't, or you won't, or you never would, or you reflect upon the words that your father or your mother said over your life, and you reflect and you contemplate and you give extended thought to all of the limitation and all of the labels that they put on you, but you forgot what God said about you, that he said you're more than a conqueror, that I knit you together perfectly in your mother's womb, that you are not a mistake, but that you are perfect. You are a masterpiece. You are a perfect work of art on this earth, and I put you here to bring heaven to earth, my kingdom and my glory. That's what I want to do in you and for you. You see, you choose to reflect upon the story. It's your choice. It's your choice. You get to choose. So what are you meditating on? What are you meditating on? Are you meditating on what other people have said to you and about you? Are you meditating, giving extended thought, reflection, and contemplation on what God said about you? It's one of the ways to keep in an expectant attitude and moving into abundance is remembering what God said. Then we move into the second key that we see there, and that's freedom. Freedom. He said this in verse 7 and 8. He says, I returned and I gave an honest report, but my brothers who went with me frightened the people from entering the promised land. But for my part, I wholeheartedly followed the Lord my God. I want you to see this. Man, Caleb is free. He's free. He hasn't picked up any resentment or regret along the way. He's free. There's no resentment and there's no regret. He actually calls these people, listen, the people that cost him 40 years in the wilderness for not believing the promise, he doesn't say, man, those sorry folks, Joshua, you remember them. Those cowards. Man, they cost us. He says, man, it was my brothers and they were just frightened. They were my brothers. What? He's living free. He's not pointing the finger and blaming them for the last 40 years. He's not blaming them for eating the same thing when he could have been eating all the grapes and all the good food. He's not blaming them because they were out there living in the wilderness. He's not blaming. He's not pointing. There's no resentment. He's free from all resentment. But you know what else he's free from? He's free from any regret. He's not saying, oh, I wish I would have done more. I would have done something different. He says, I just wholeheartedly followed the Lord. I did the best I could. That's what I did. And too many people, whenever you're looking back over your shoulder and you're constantly living in the shoulda, coulda, woulda, I wish I would have, right? That shoulda, coulda, woulda. Guess what? That moves you into you're not gonna. Because when you live in the shoulda, coulda, woulda and all the regrets of your past, it means you're not going to move into what God has for you in the future. So what we see from Caleb is he's living in absolute freedom. There's no resentment. He's not pointing the finger. He's not blaming. He's not cursing anybody. No, no, no. Instead, he said, these were my brothers. And he says, listen, I did my part. I wholeheartedly followed after the Lord. I have no regrets about what I brought to the table. I did the very best that I could. He's free. Free from resentment. Free from regret. Here's the third lesson that we learn, and that's gratitude. Gratitude. In verse 10, he says, as you can see, the Lord has kept me alive and well. What is Caleb doing in this moment? He's honoring God. He's honoring God and thanking God for doing something that he couldn't do for himself. He's saying, come on, don't you see? God has kept me alive. Everybody else, 20 years and older, they all died. God killed them, but not me. Come on, can't you see what God has done? He's kept me alive, and he's kept me well, and he's honoring God, and he's living in gratitude for what he could have never done. He's just taking a moment, and he's recognizing the goodness and the faithfulness of God, saying, I'm still here, and if I'm not dead, then God's not done. So grateful for just being here. I'm still alive. God's kept me alive. He's kept me well. So much gratitude. It's a key. It's a lesson to living with an expectant attitude and possessing the abundance that God has for each and every one of us. Here's the fourth lesson. The fourth lesson is health. Verse 11, he says, I'm as strong now as I was when Moses sent me on that journey. That was 40 years before. He says, I can still travel and fight as well as I could then. He's now 40, over 40 years, he's senior. And he says, listen, I still run as fast. I still jump as high. I still fight as good. Come on, he says, I still got it. Well, listen. If you are going to live with an expectant attitude, and if you are going to experience the abundance that God has, you have to prioritize your health. Your physical health, your mental health, your emotional health, your relational health, because you can't let 40 years go, and 40 years you're just feeling sorry for yourself, and it might not be 40 years, it might be 4 years, it might be 8 months, I don't know, but you can't ever just start feeling sorry for yourself and then start making bad choices. Because when God says it's time to go, and you're not healthy, your soul is not healthy, your mind is not healthy, your body is not healthy, God says, hey, it's time to fulfill my promise. And you're like, man, I would love to go, but I can't. Because I didn't prioritize my health in this waiting time. Instead of being active, I got passive. And honestly, I wasn't even sure if it was going to happen. I lost my expectation. I lost my abundance. You see, we got to take care of our own health along the journey. Because when God says it's time to move, we got to be ready to move. We got to be like Caleb saying, whoo, I'm as strong as I've ever been. I'm more in love with Jesus now than I've ever been in love with Jesus. I love people now more than I have ever loved people. I am freer than I have ever been in my life. I'm not holding on to anything in my past. God is healed. I am stronger now, more filled with more fight than I've ever been filled with in my life. I'm healthier today than I was then. Which takes us to the fifth lesson that we learned. How do you keep an expectant attitude? How do you possess that abundance? And the last one is to dream. It's a dream. This is what he says in verse 12. He says, so give me the hill country that the Lord promised me. I mean, it was his promise. 40 years later, I'm still strong. 40 years later, I'm still grateful. 40 years later, I'm still free of all resentment and all regret. 40 years later, I'm still here. I've been thinking and meditating on the right stuff. And he says, you'll remember, Joshua, that as scouts, I love this, we found the descendants of Anak. That's giants, by the way. He didn't pick the place where the small people lived. He picked the place where the big people lived. He didn't go after the weak. He said, give me that hill country where the strong people are. He says, you'll remember that as scouts, we found the descendants of Anak living there. And not only were they there, whoo, they had great big old walled cities. A lot of obstacles there. He says, but if the Lord is with me, I will drive them out of the land just as the Lord said. What does this tell you? What lesson does this give you about living with an expectant attitude, maintaining that expectant attitude, and moving into the abundance that God has for you? It lets you know that Caleb has been dreaming about this moment. 40 years dreaming about this promise being fulfilled. 40 years thinking about those giants going down. 40 years thinking about taking those walled cities for the glory of God. He's been dreaming about this moment. And here he is standing with Joshua. He says, don't you remember the promise? He gave it to me. And I've been dreaming about that promise ever since. And he says, if God is with me, then I will drive them out. If God is with me like he promised, then I will drive them out. Listen, as we wrap it up, Caleb hasn't just been dreaming about God's promise. He's also been dreaming about his part. He's not just dreaming about God's promise that one day this is going to be my land, and maybe when I get there, God will have killed all the giants for me, and he'll have flattened all the walls, and I'll just walk right in there, and it'll be easy. No, he said, Joshua, I'm strong because I know a fight's coming. I need you to know that I'm in a good place right now. I know it's going to be a battle. They got walled cities, and there's giants there, but Joshua, please give me that plot of land that God promised me. He hasn't just been dreaming about the promise. He's been dreaming about the part that he would play. Seeing himself, envisioning himself, taking down the giants, envisioning himself breaking into those walled cities. He's been dreaming about that breakthrough, dreaming about that change, dreaming about that abundance that God said is yours. And let me tell you, the same thing that carried Caleb into the promised land is the same thing that will carry you into the promised life. It's the same five things. It's meditation. What are you choosing to remember and reflect on? You're choosing to remember something. You're choosing to remember some story and some label. Every day you reflect and contemplate something. Is it the I can or the I can? Is it what somebody else said about you or is it what God said about you? If you want to move into the promised life, it's got to be the meditation. It's got to be freedom. Same thing for Caleb and Joshua. It's the same thing for us. You can't move into everything that God has with resentment in your heart about what other people did. You can't walk into the abundant life living in unforgiveness, pointing the finger at other people, blaming them for everything that happened. You can't do it. You can't move into the promised land living in regret. The coulda, shoulda, woulda, I wish I would have. If you live with the woulda, coulda, shoulda, you're not gonna. You gotta get free. How do you move in? You move in with gratitude. Honor God and give thanks to Him. Man, I'm still here. I'm still here. Wasn't easy, but I'm still here. Wasn't always pretty, but man, I'm still here. 10 years ago, I never thought I would be in church on a Sunday morning in November, but here I am. I'm here. I'm grateful. I'm grateful. Health, you got to stay healthy. Listen, you can't overflow with your life out of control. God wants to take you into the overflow, but you cannot overflow with what He has when your life is out of control, physically, relationally, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, anyway. You got to get healthy if you want to move into the promise. And lastly, you got to have that dream. You got to see yourself possessing it. That's why Peter said, in view of all of this, it's great and precious promises. And because God has those promises for everyone, and He has given you everything that you need to fulfill those promises, the only thing that He needs you to do is to begin to see it and then respond to it. He needs you to see it, to envision it, what's possible for you. What's possible for you to move into everything. He just needs you to see it, to catch a vision for what's possible. And when you catch a vision for what's possible, there is no obstacle that can stand in your way. You got to have a dream, the dream of yourself possessing it. And when you see it, guess what? You'll fight for it, man. When you've been dreaming about it, hey, there's giants there. Those are my giants. I'm taking those out. Those giants have been wreaking havoc in my family for too long. Addiction and poverty, I'm coming after those giants. The giants of racism and prejudice, they've been in my family tree for too long. I'm going after those giants and I'm gonna slay them. Those walled cities, those things that feel like I can't break through. Those addictions, those things that have been passed down from generation to generation. No, that's what I'm coming for. And when I'm dreaming about possessing it, I'm willing to fight as hard as I need to fight because I know God said it was possible. And I'm going to walk into it. Let me give you our lead today. And as the band comes out, we're going to just take a moment before we break today. And we're just going to stand in the promise of God. And guess what? As we stand in the presence of God and we stand in the promises of God, as we sing, ask them to come out and just sing, because this is what I believe is going to happen. I believe that as we sing today, that some of you are going to begin to vision what's possible. Some of you are going to begin to catch a vision for what God wants to do in your life, what He wants to enable you, how He wants to come along beside you so that you can live the life that He created you to live. Let's go through our lead quickly today. What did we learn today? This is what we learned. That God's promises create a vision in me for what's possible and cause me to respond with an expectant attitude. God's promises, they create a vision inside. They allow me to envision what's possible. And then they cause me to respond with every effort and respond with that expectant attitude. What am I evaluating today? What does my life look like when things don't happen as fast or as easy as I would prefer? Do I quit and give up? Man, this ain't worth it. What if Joshua and Caleb would have just given up after 10 years, 20 years, 30 years? What if they'd have just thrown in the towel and said, man, it ain't worth it. People complaining, griping, eating the same food. It's hot out here. I just give up. No, what would have happened? They wouldn't have moved into everything God had for them. What happens when it doesn't happen as quick as you would like it to? Or as easy as you thought it would? Do you maintain an expectant attitude? Well, that takes us right to our application. And our application is this. We got to activate Caleb's template. Activate the template. meditation, freedom, gratitude, health, dream. Activate the template. Follow the pattern. Do it this week. Do it this week. Begin to reflect on what God said about you. Take a moment of gratitude. Just thanking God, honoring God for who He is, the fact that you're still here. Make sure that you're free from resentment and regret. Make sure that you're making healthy choices in your life, that you are prepared to move into that promise. And make sure the dream is alive and well in your heart, that you can see it happening so that you can seize it in your life.
Thank you for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and share our podcast. For more content from NCC and how to get connected, visit ncc.team.